So we've got to design a feeding system that are biologically aligned to the animal, that are more predictable and fundamentally more sustainable. Because when biologically efficiency improves, everything else follows. Performance improves, variation drops, and the environmental impact and environmental impacts decline. So I think that's where the future of swine nutrition lies, not in adding more complexity, but in better alignment between the pig, the diet, and the system as a whole.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com. Kemin invites you to optimize swine health and nutrition. Dive in at Kemin.com/swine. DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers. Barnes is your trusted partner for Colon Plus FC, enzymes, yeast products, and macro minerals. To learn more, visit barnes-na.com/animal nutrition.
Welcome to the Swine Nutrition Black Belt Podcast, where we explore the science behind swine nutrition. I'm your host, Jorge Estrada. And today in our podcast, we have Dr. John Olorti again. We decided to do a second delivery of the fascinating topic that we were talking last time. Dr. John Olorti, he's a professor of monogastric nutrition at the University College Dublin in Ireland. And then we're going to keep our discussion on digestive health. Dr. Olorti, thanks again for joining us and welcome to the Nutrition Podcast.
Okay, thank you, George. Thank you for the invitation.
Excellent. Well, last time we were talking about, you know, grain preserved with acids, with organic acids, right? So, of course, when you're feeding pigs with this type of ingredients, you have been measuring changes in the microbiome of those pigs. In plain terms, can you explain us a little bit what consistent changes have you seen when you feed pigs with preserved grain?
Yes. When we feed preserved grain, we consistently observe a shift toward a more stable and beneficial microbial ecosystem. What do we see? We see an increased abundance of butyrate-producing bacteria, such as fecal bacterium, such as Rhodoburea, such as Prevotella. We see reduced levels of opportunic pathogens, including E. coli. And all these microbial changes are important because butyrate plays a central role, for example, in supporting the intestinal epithelial integrity, a role in reducing inflammation. It also provides energy to colonocytes. And I think also what's particularly notable is that these changes occur without directly targeting the microbiome. Instead, they are a consequence of the improved digestion and nutrient flow that we see. And this, I think, reinforces the concept that microbial composition is driven by substrate availability rather than direct microbial intervention.
Well, one of the strategies that has been used quite a bit over the past few years is feeding low crude protein diets, right? Connecting all the work that you have done, how does your research help to overcome the limitations with this kind of diet?
Yeah, low crude protein diets are effective in reducing diarrhea and in piglets post-weaning because they limit the amount of protein available for harmful fermentation in the hind gut. However, they often compromise growth performance due to reduced amino acid availability. And one thing that we consistently see is that preserved grains help address this by improving nitrogen digestibility and nitrogen utilization. So in our work, pigs that have been fed preserved grain in low crude protein diets were able to maintain growth performance, sustain short-chain fatty acid production, and support a more stable gut microbiome. And I think this suggests that preserved grain can help overcome one of the main barriers to adopting low crude protein strategies, making them more biologically effective and commercially viable.
Excellent. Well, let's switch gears a little bit here. From the maternal standpoint, how important is nutrition in shaping that post-weaning performance? And, you know, we have been talking about gut health. So how is that relationship there, if any?
Yeah, it's an area of work that we've been doing for quite a while. I suppose my simple answer is that maternal nutrition is critically important and likely underlies as a tool in pig production. The sow influences the piglet through microbial transfer at birth, colostrum and milk composition, early immune system development. And for example, in our latest studies, feeding organic preserved grain to sows improved nutrient digestibility of the sow diet, so increased her energy intake. It changed the microbial profile of the sow at farrowing time and also the piglets at weaning time, and we'd say 10 days into lactation and at weaning time. And very, very interestingly, it improves post-weaning growth and feed efficiency. So interestingly, many of the benefits were not immediately visible pre-weaning, but became evident later, we'd say in the second from 25 kilograms onwards, suggesting a program effect on the developing piglet. So this highlights the importance of considering nutrition, not just at the point of challenge, but as part of a life cycle strategy before even birth.
Excellent. And well, now, you know, we have been discussing different concepts here, right? So from the practical standpoint, what should nutritionists prioritize, right, when trying to improve gut health and performance?
Yeah, I suppose after 25 years experience, the first priority should be consistency and quality of feed entering the system. Before adding complexity through multiple additives, it's essential to ensure high quality grain, effective preservation and storage, minimal mycotoxin contamination. Because this variability at this level leads to the variability in feed intake, digestibility, microbial stability. So if the input feed is inconsistent, downstream interventions will always be limited in their effectiveness. So the most impactful step is often the simplest: get the foundation right. And in this case, it is make sure you have consistency, good quality grain.
At Barnes, we're more than just another feed additive company. We are driven by science, innovation, and an understanding of the challenges you face in the ever-changing world of animal agriculture. We are your trusted partner for new-to-market natural alternative to choline chloride, Choline Plus FC, as well as enzymes, prebiotics, probiotics, macro minerals. To learn more about our product offering, visit barnes-ne.com/animal nutrition. Together, there's always a better solution.
I really like that message, right? Consistency, and that way the pig can do the rest, right? So that's great. So let's close this conversation with a final question here. Several years of experience working in the industry, working in the academia. Looking ahead, where do you see the future of swine nutrition going?
I suppose if there's one message I'd leave you with, is that we spent years trying to control gut health at the level of the microbe. But the real control point sits much earlier in the system. When we get digestion right, when we align the diet with the pig's capacity, when we improve feed quality, and we control what actually flows through the gut, we don't just reduce disease, we change how the entire system behaves. And what our work would show is that, this work shows that relatively simple upstream decisions, like how we preserve the present feed, can drive major downstream effects on performance, on microbiome stability, and on environmental impact. So the opportunity in front of us is not just to replace zinc oxide and in-feed medication, it's to move beyond it. So we've got to design a feeding system that are biologically aligned to the animal, that are more predictable and fundamentally more sustainable. Because when biologically efficiency improves, everything else follows. Performance improves, variation drops, and the environmental impact and environmental impacts decline. So I think that's where the future of swine nutrition lies, not in adding more complexity, but in better alignment between the pig, the diet, and the system as a whole.
Excellent. No, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us, with the audience. And unfortunately, that's all the time that we have today. So thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, George.
Alrighty, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Swine Nutrition Black Belt Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us some great comments and join us in our next episode.